Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 16th of May, recording at 9:30 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets, mostly a little bit easier. And a couple of the bigger hits were Hong Kong and Australia, down 1.36 and 1.30% respectively. European stock markets were mixed, very quiet, but a majority of them were just a fraction lower overall. Now, they closed when Wall Street was showing a modest gain, which was reversed into a modest low, and not that far off the day's lows. The S&P was down, for instance, 8.3, and that's 0.62 of a percent. The NASDAQ Composite, interestingly, is down a little bit more at 1.63%. That's down quite a bit more, a full percentage point more. Elsewhere, long-dated government bond prices slightly easier for the euro bunds, and also for gilts, a little bit firmer in the U.S. stock market. The U.S. dollar was a little bit easier here, including against the euro, which, despite all the talk about and fear of a Greek default, is currently up a little bit to 141.76. And precious metals hit hard in here today. Silver's trading at 33.51, assuming it closes somewhere quite close to that relatively soon. That'll be a new closing low, not a new intraday low. I think it got down about a dollar lower on an intraday basis a couple of times, or up to a dollar lower. But down a dollar and a half now. That's certainly a hit. So the dynamics are still to the downside. And what else? Gold is currently trading at $1,490. That's down almost $5. Platinum down $8. Now, most of the commodities are weaker. Last but not least, we've got crude oil down to 97, currently 97.05. That's the WTI crude. And the Brent crude is just over 120. I beg your pardon, 110. Brent crude just over 110. Gasoline hit hard in here. Pity I covered my short position. Some smarter subscribers may have held on to theirs. What else? That's pretty much it. I think the industrial metals, there were more to the downside than the upside here for sure. Grains and beans, though. Corn up 15 cents, so wheat up 8 cents. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, I don't like the stock market outlook in the short term, and I've been fretting about it for a while in here, as you know, and feeling that caught in the middle of that scrum between the accommodative monetary policy and the commodity price inflation, that was something that the commodity inflation would win, and that was the negative factor for stock markets. And although commodities are coming off, and coming off quite sharply, that is a the damage was done earlier on. And stock markets, I think if stock markets have been in a little bit in denial, and people, it's very easy to say and repeat as a mantra Well, where else are you going to go other than stock markets? Well, some people will go into cash for a while. It's certainly not a long-term investment, but they will take fright and deleverage. And we've seen a lot of deleveraging in here. Or if that's slightly overstated, we have certainly seen some deleveraging in here, and I think we have scope to get more deleveraging. Now, again, the people who were writing optimistically about Wall Street in the short term, a week to go, a month ago, were pointing out the strong earnings. And yes, they've been great. First quarter earnings, for the most part, have been great. But that's history, and the moderate spike, as I've described it all along, that we saw on crude oil prices following the so-called Arab uprising, and also the Fukushima accident during that terrible tsunami, really has done enough damage here to slow GDP growth, and stock markets are beginning to reflect that because earnings estimates are being revised downwards by analysts, and rightly so, I maintain. Now, this is hardly a disaster, but it does mean that we're those of us who ride this out, and I've intended all along to ride it out, are going to see a bit more of a drawdown on their on the valuation of their positions. Or that's a fairly well, that's the odds-on risk in here right now, I would say. I don't think this is going to be a major blowout because we can already see the biggest concern starting to abate. More on that in a moment. But some of these stock markets, really, which have been range-bound for a very long time, that begins to discourage investors over time, and they start to drift away. And it's not as if there aren't plenty of problems that people can point to rationalize it. But I'm talking about pure psychology here right now on this point. When the market's strong, people ignore various concerns. When the market begins to get a little bit weaker, then they drag out and dust down all the different factors that they'd been ignoring for a while. And that's what we're likely to see, I think, for a little while longer. This is a period of seasonal underperformance, so I think we will see these stock markets range sideways to lower, and it's not beyond the bounds of possibilities that we could get a few stabs to the downside. But I'm not looking for a bear market here at this time. I think one thing, central banks will back off on the higher interest rates as they see crude oil coming down and a number of other industrial commodities coming down. So what we also see in stock markets is that there has been a push into the very defensive areas. It's been a long time in coming, but for instance, some of the pharmaceutical companies in the UK have been very strong recently, and that's something that'll be replicated elsewhere. And tobaccos, so they're performing, and that just suggests that the people who have the most performance pressures on their backs are switching in favor of somewhat more defensive positions. They have also done that in terms of going back and bidding up the long-dated government bond prices a bit further. And that suggests that those people who are doing it would include everybody from the Fed to those who are maybe covering short positions, maybe a little bit of retreat into this sector. I think there may well be an attempt to squeeze Bill Gross's short position. Does that sort of thing happen in markets? Well, you bet it does. And my short position in the Treasury bonds is being squeezed. It feels a bit masochistic, but I'm going to ride this out here for a bit longer because I expect choppy ranging activity, but I think it is top formation development overall, and therefore I'm willing to put up with a little bit of pressure on that position in the short to medium term, and wait for a clear signal before I increase it somewhat. But it's still moving against me at the moment with the US one. That's the spot 30-year bond currently future trading at 125. So those yields are getting down fairly low once again. Historically, much too low to be maintained over the longer term, in my opinion, but markets can do almost anything in the short and sometimes medium term, as you know. What else to mention? Well, how do I try to offset that? Well, I've stepped up my short positions a little bit in stock market futures, and I have. As you may recall, if you've been following those trades of mine, those hedge trades, I thought, well, if my long-term equity investments are going to see some temporary profit erosion, then I might open some hedge positions. They're asymmetrical in the sense that I'm not shorting what I already own. But I'm choosing some of these highly liquid contracts, and for instance, I think the first one I shorted was the S&P future. That's back in the money right now, although not massively so. I also shorted the DAX. I think it was. Did I do that last week? But that's currently in the money. And this morning, I shorted the NASDAQ 100 index. Now, all of those have shown relative strength recently, and one could very easily use that as an argument for not touching those and shorting something else. But I like to short with these, when I do put on these hedge shorts, I like to choose a highly liquid contract that has narrow spread bet dealing costs, which the more liquid ones do, and I want to choose contracts which have long opening hours, and I opt for the US contracts and the DAX more often than not. And why do any of those factors matter? Well, the dealing costs are important, and I also like the long trading hours, so that if I wish to move move more quickly, I can do that, and that's a concern to me, or that's important for me because I feel I am putting these hedge shorts on in what remains a cyclical bull market in these stock markets, albeit one that is due for a further reaction in my opinion. Now, what else to mention here? I think the big story that's going on, I've mentioned it earlier in this broadcast, mentioning deleveraging. We're seeing the most deleveraging in these volatile commodity markets, that's for sure. And this drop in precious metals, silver, a new closing low in here. And this suggests to me that however good the fundamentals are on a long-term basis, and I don't think we've seen the final peaks in these metals. But they certainly got overextended, as we know. We've been through that. That's all been discussed and on a number of occasions in these audios and written about on the website. But when markets go through a euphoric phase, it inevitably ends badly with a big shakeout. And I think some of those people are still being shaken out of positions, particularly those who have leveraged positions. Leverage is lovely when it's going your way, and but it's a double-edged sword, and the cutting side of that sword is being felt at the well, both a little bit. Well, you get the point. So, precious metals again. This is no longer a period of seasonal performance. It's a period of underperformance, and I expect this retracement to ranging phase to continue into the Western summer. That is into well over the next few weeks. I expect it to continue. Depending on how quickly things come down, that will create a buying opportunity. I would like to see a fairly sharp pullback in these precious metals, as that would tempt me to come back and have some long positions in either August or September. September is when the seasonal strength usually returns. And again, this is if you've been following gold and silver over the last decade and look at those charts, and I've illustrated this in some of my presentations and also on the site, but these odd number years, this is, seems to be a coincidence factor that's developed a behavioral component. But what I'm saying is that in the odd number of years, we do get quite a good breakout to the upside in September. I'll be fascinated to see if that happens again, but I'll look for it until I see clear evidence that it's not happening. In the meantime, point on precious metals is that I think that they are in a medium-term corrective phase and will come somewhat lower. I don't think silver will be the next upside leader, but it's always a volatile commodity. So if silver gets an overshoot to the downside, what would be an overshoot to the downside, in my opinion? Well, under $30. For instance, if it were to come back to $25, that would be a 50% retracement. That would ring bells for a few people, including me. So, as I say, expect a little more retracement there. Now, in the crude oil, this is really quite good news here, because the big, what would have been a really big problem would be if we'd seen another major spike to the upside. Again, crude oil and all these commodities, I maintain they're in secular bull markets, but they're extremely volatile. And when we get a growth slowdown, let alone anything that looks a bit like a recession, then commodities can be hit really quite hard. But if we see crude oil, for instance, if we get the WTI coming back below 90, and if we get the Brent coming back below $100, and stay at those levels or lower, and that would be, again, extremely good news. I said in the beginning of this broadcast, it would take the heat off in terms of the commodity price inflation for these industrial commodities. And that would mean that central banks would be less inclined to tighten monetary conditions further in a effort to prevent an inflationary psychology entering the public consciousness. Although it's already there, but it's a matter of degree, isn't it? And It would also set the stage for an improvement in global GDP growth, probably in the fourth quarter of this year, and or if not, then in the first quarter of 2012. That's the way. That would be my guess, best guess at this stage. So, the big disaster potentially of a large spike in crude oil looks like it's going to be avoided, and we get away with a moderate spike. Having a little trouble here with an itchy throat here for a minute. I'm just going to have a sip of water. Okay. What else? Now the grain and bean complex, and Owen's written about these here today. But I maintain that among all commodities, that this some of these agricultural commodities, and they would include cotton and corn. I'd probably put corn at the top of the list, and also wheat. That they have the best fundamentals among commodities generally, because we had serious supply damage last year, and the problems, the weather-related problems that we have seen in the last couple of months are distinctly unfavorable. So already it's looking as if a crop yields are going to be compromised. Now, it's not beyond the beyond the bound of possibilities that we could get a change in the weather pattern and exceptional conditions, and that the outlook for yields would improve somewhat, depending on which commodity is. But corn already looks compromised. And the wheat may well also be in that position. So, so in terms of this of supply shortages, they have the best fundamentals among the commodities, in my opinion. What we do know is that at some future date, or I assume this will be the case, and it always has been, at some future date, we will get extremely good crop yields, and then that supply problem will be profoundly changed, and the grain and bean prices will be much lower. But that may not happen this year, and that's just not good news. If we get two consecutive years of bad crop yields, that will create a bit of havoc. What sort of havoc? Well, it will lead to plenty more unrest. I've often made the point that one of the first things mentioned in these demonstrations that we see in the Middle East and North African countries, these Arab countries, one of the biggest complaints has been food prices, or the inability to get food, the inability to afford food has been a major factor. And then they talk about how they have rip-off regimes, and they want democracy and so on. But food often gets has been mentioned right up there at the forefront of complaints. So I would expect more problems of that nature. Obviously, the major tragedy would be more starvation in poorer parts of the world, higher food prices for absolutely everyone. So it's a nasty outcome if we get another bad crop season. And as I say, the weather in the last couple of months has been most worrying in terms of those yields. Okay. Now I don't want to end on that on that gloomy note, but I don't want to drag on here and repeat myself. So all the best to all of you.